Open your Bibles with me this morning, please, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 will begin at the first verse of this wonderful account in the life of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse number 1, we find the recording of his journey to Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17, verse number 1, please follow along. I'll read down through 10 verses. It says, "And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs to have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they gathered a company, and they set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do, contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went in unto the synagogue of the Jews." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for its inspiration. Thank you that it's preserved for us, and that we can know exactly what you have to challenge us with in our life. Thank you for the guidance that we have through your word. And we ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that he would guide us in the truth of these verses, that he would help us to understand the application to our individual lives. We pray that we would be attentive to what you have to share with us this morning, and that it would truly make a difference today and perhaps for many, many days to come. And so we ask, Lord, that we might be open before you, that our hearts would be engaged, and that we would desire to follow you. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is 3 Keys to a Meaningful Life. 3 Keys to a Meaningful Life. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but we all face a battle every single day. A war that takes place internally between our sinful nature and our spiritual nature. I don't know how it plays out in your life, but it's kind of like an argument that goes on in my head. Now, please don't leave here saying, the dean of students hears voices in his head. That's not really what I'm implying, all right? So if that word got out, we'd be in trouble. But it's true. But if that word got out, we would be in trouble. And it begins at 5:30 every morning. That's when the alarm goes off. And one little voice, it seems like the sinful nature must stay awake all night plotting his strategy. And so he speaks first and he says, you're tired, you had a hard day yesterday, you didn't sleep well, turn over, go back to sleep. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's good. And then the other voice in my head, the spiritual nature, says, no, you need to get up, you've got things to do, you got to get some exercise, you got to spend some time with the Word of God, you can't do that if you're in bed here. And I said, oh, that's probably true. No, you can put that off, you can do it later, and on. Sound familiar? How many of you have a similar battle every morning? Yes. And then you play it again after the snooze, so his button is hit and it comes on again in 10 minutes, right? But we all have that constant warfare in our life. Who is going to be in charge? Who is going to rule the day? Who is going to be the leader of our schedule? And which one of those two forces is really going to overcome for that particular day? You know, obviously we need to allow the Spirit of God to rule and reign in our life, to lead us moment by moment. And we need to be listening as he reminds us of the Scriptures, as he reminds us of our responsibility and our role that we have, so that we could do what God desires for us to do, that we might follow the steps of the Lord that he directs for us on a daily basis. That's the plan. And if we do that, our life will have meaning. It's interesting, John 10:10 says that we might have an abundant life. The Lord desires for our life to be abundant. The idea of abundance is to be full. It's not just to be busy, but it's to be full, to be meaningful, to be satisfying, to be enjoyable, to be beyond measure. Does that describe you and your life? Does that describe how you're enjoying a Maranatha? Is it something that is exceeding? It is superior, extraordinary, is uncommon, it's remarkable, it's superabundant, it's great! It's almost as if we could capture and bottle the enthusiasm that Taylor Pill has when he talks about athletics. Is that what your life is like? Oh, yeah! I just enjoy every single moment of every single hour of every single day! This is great! Well, if that's the case, you've had too much coffee. You need to calm down just a bit, all right, and to take it easy. You're going to have a heart attack at that rate. But from a realistic standpoint, are we really enjoying this particular phase and facet of God's will for our life? And that's the bottom line. Not just enjoying it, but are we seeing the meaning of why we are here? What is the reason I'm enduring all of this torture that the professors seem to heap upon us? And as the semester gets rolling, you're going to find out exactly what that means, all right? How do you view life at this juncture? Is it something that you say, this is a meaningful experience? I am so thankful for what I'm challenged with and what I'm taught and what I'm drinking in. And I'm trusting that God will use these things to actually make me different, to make me more prepared for whatever career path the Lord has led you in, and prepared for whatever opportunities you have now here through your local church and societies and other opportunities to engage other people. That you might be the kind of roommate God would desire for you to be. That you'd be the kind of church member that your church deserves for you to be. That you would be the kind of son and daughter to your parents that they deserve and that God would desire for you to be. Being all that you can be, a meaningful existence. What are the necessary ingredients to that? Well, I think as we look at this chapter or this passage in Acts chapter 17, we see some subtle evidences of Paul's life and the things that he has experienced that allowed his life to have meaning. And of course, of all the individuals in the New Testament, aside, of course, from the Lord Jesus, I think the Apostle Paul has the most meaningful life of anyone that's recorded there on the pages of the New Testament. Not only through his missionary journeys, but also through his vast writings under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He is the outstanding individual in the New Testament. What made him tick? What made him to rise above all others? What was it within Paul's life that we could learn from and even emulate so that we likewise can have that same kind of a meaningful existence and that we might have the same kind of a usefulness in the hands of a wise and almighty God that he could use our life to make a difference for others for all of eternity? And isn't that what we're all about? That whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. How does that happen? Is it an accident? No. It's a purposeful life. And let's notice some of the qualities or some of the keys that the Apostle Paul had in his life that led him to this kind of an existence as recorded here in Acts chapter 17. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 2 as it describes this incident or this interaction in the city of Thessalonica. And verse number 2, it says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them," the people of the synagogue at Thessalonica, "and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." I believe the first thing we notice here is that he had a habit. So what does that habit indicate? That habit indicates dedication. And the first key of having a meaningful life is to be dedicated. Whatever it is that you gravitate yourself to in a habitual manner, that's something that is important to your life. That shows that you have dedicated your life to engaging in that particular activity. The thing that you want to do and you plan your life around and you arrange your schedule so that you can do it and it's the thing that's the deciding factor of your future events, that's what you're dedicated to. Now, I'm sure that you've all been challenged many times in your life, especially during your high school years and during camp experiences, to dedicate your life to the Lord. That you would give it over, give the control, the reins of your life to the Lord and say, "Lord, it's not my life, it's yours. And I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. It's I am yours to do." And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul had done. remembering the Damascus experience where Paul spoke to him and that Damascus road in Acts chapter 9, and the Lord engaged him as they were traveling, and a light shone from heaven, and the voice came from heaven, and Paul fell to the ground, and he answered, said, "Well, who are you?" And the Lord responded, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And Paul's response is, "What would you have me to do? I am willing to be yours. I am giving you myself. Where would you want me to go? What path should I follow?" And that is, of course, exactly the point where God wanted him. It's the point where God wants you and me as well. Have you come to that point in your life where you have said, "From this day forward, I dedicate my life to you"? What is dedication? Dedication to the Lord is to set a goal. To set a goal in my life. To fix a target that I'm shooting for. Now, the truth is, if you don't have a goal that you're shooting for, you're not going to hit anything. You know, it's better to shoot at something and miss than to shoot at nothing and hit it. So you have to have something in your mind that you are striving to accomplish. Why are you here at Maranatha? Well, I'm here to get an education. What is your education good for? Well, I'm going to get a good job when it's over. So is that your goal? Is that your ambition? Is that where you're headed? Is that the driving force of your life? Is that what you are drawn back to? Maybe you would say, you know, God's called me to a specific career, a specific ministry, and that's what I want to accomplish. This is my goal that I've set. This is where I am headed. This is what I intend to arrive at and to be. And I want that to be the direction of my life, that kind of dedication. As his manner was, I underlined that phrase in my Bible in verse 2. That's an interesting concept. As his manner was. Indicates a habit. It indicates something that he falls back to. This is the guiding light of his life. And as he traveled on his missionary journeys and he went from town to town, he did not do so discreetly. He did not do so to kind of blend in with the surroundings, to be politically correct, to just make no waves. No, he jumped in with both feet, making a lot of waves and drawing attention to the Lord Jesus Christ and intentionally engaging the population with the confrontation of the scriptures, of the gospel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a great goal to have. And may I say that if you and I were to follow the Lord, we would be looking for that as our goal, to serve God faithfully, continually, without any kind of interruption, without any kind of distraction. And so dedication is absolutely essential to set the goal and to make sure that it's something that glorifies God. With our life here, whatever years that God gives us, whatever years that we have, I want them to count for God. I'm not setting a goal that's selfish. I'm not setting a goal that's centered around pleasing my family, the expectations of my friends. I am setting my goal based upon what the Bible challenges me to do with my days. That's the consideration. To dedicate ourselves to a lofty and high existence, that we would rise above the mediocrity of the society around us, and that we really would be a standout for Christ. However you envision yourself 10 years from now, do you ever fast forward? What's that look like? 10 years from now, what will you be? Where will you be? Who will you be with? Those are the kinds of things that you look forward to seeing in your crystal ball as you try to figure out, okay, what's going on? As you look at yourself 10 years from now, are you in a position that God would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for following the steps and the open doors that I provided for you along the way. Thank you for being dedicated to the task of following my will for your life." Now, most of us don't have a crystal ball where we can actually see into the future. Most of us don't know what we're going to end up doing, but we do know that there's a door open unto us. And it's a great door, and there are many adversaries. So the door that's open to you right now is the door here at Maranatha. I would challenge you that in your days at Maranatha, that you would use every single one of them as an opportunity to grow in your spiritual life, to allow the Lord to change us to become more like him, so that we are glorifying him in everything we say, everything we do, every plan that we make. Wow, what a filter to have on our mind. And if you would allow yourself to be guided by that filter this week, As you think about conversations you're going to have, things that you're going to post on Facebook, responses that you are going to make, you need to ask yourself, does this glorify God? Even as you are typing out something that you want to post for all the world to see, does this glorify God? Your goal is to glorify God. The target is to be His faithful servant, His royal ambassador here, to stand in His place. Paul got to that point. And that's why we find recorded in this chapter, as he's going on his missionary journey, his habit was to go from city to city to city and to engage the population of that city with the gospel. That's what God called him to do. And God would desire for you and us to be faithful servants to do that kind of obedient life as well. Dedication is necessary for success in any facet of life. Think about it for a moment concerning athletics. Many of you are involved in athletics to some degree or another, whether it's intercollegiate or whether it's intramural. So that's something that you need to think, you know, I'm going to have to do a little practicing here. I'm going to have to do a little skill development. I want to be sure that I can do this to the best of my ability. And so there's a measure of sweat and toil and energy and time that has to be given to developing those skills athletically. Same thing is true in fine arts. Whether it's music or speech or whatever it is, you can't just walk out onto a stage and expect to perform to standing ovations. That doesn't happen automatically or overnight. It's something that requires some dedication. You have to spend endless hours of memorization and endless hours in practice and endless hours in listening to the director yell at you, talk to you and give you those instructions and correct the things that aren't going smoothly. There's a lot of work engaged in that. And the same is true musically. As you endeavor to develop your musical talent and ability, and I hope that you'll do that to the very best of your potential. And that means many, many hours in the practice room. I've already talked to many students this year, and they said, you know, I was going to do this, and I was going to take some piano lessons, but do you know they require you X number of hours of practice every week? I said, that's how you get better. My son is a pianist, and not this one, the other one, and he said he learned this very important aspect of learning the piano is that you do not learn how to be a good pianist in lessons. You learn it in the practice room, right? And so practice, 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 and doing all you possibly can. That requires a spirit of dedication. That's the goal. I know for my son Jeff, his goal was to be a good pianist, and every moment that he wasn't doing something else, he was sitting at the piano bench. And he was working on some piece and going over that hard part over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm thankful we had an electronic keyboard. Because we always hollered out the same thing after he practiced for about 5 minutes. Headphones! And we weren't bombarded with that passage over and over again. But dedication requires that we keep our nose directed in the direction of God's will for our life. And that we don't allow things to sidetrack us. If you're going to say yes to God, means you're going to have to say no to some other things. Now, that would be enjoyable or good or right or better, but maybe not best. Paul was dedicated. As his manner was, he stayed the course. He kept on keeping on. But that's not the only thing that's required. It doesn't take a lot of spirituality to kneel before God and to dedicate your life to the Lord. Maybe some of you have had that experience and you recognize as you look back on it, that may have been a one-time shot. I didn't keep up with that. But there's more than just dedication. We have to set the goal, and then we have to keep going toward that goal. And notice in this passage again, in verse number 6, as we find the enemies here trying to silence Paul and Silas, and they are assaulting his place where he's staying and trying to find them and to cause him to cease by force if necessary. And it says in verse number 6, and when they, that's the non-believing Jews, found them not, they drew Jason and certain of the brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Look at that statement that was made by his enemies about Paul and about his work. These that have turned the world upside down. He had made a name for himself. He had been noted. people recognized what he was doing and what he was about. It wasn't something done quietly in a corner. It wasn't something that he was trying to keep quiet and to himself. He was out there engaging the world. That requires determination. And determination is often lacking. After we make that decision to dedicate our life to the Lord, do we stay the course? Are we determined? Do we have a speedy life toward that goal? Or are we kind of lumbering along, one step forward, two step backwards? To be determined means that we are going to every single day make progress toward that goal. That requires some analysis, some reflection. You need to stop and ask yourself, how am I doing? You know, the Lord builds that into our life. It's called the Lord's Supper. And if you read carefully in 1 Corinthians 11, one of the things required of us as we observe the Lord's Supper in our local churches is a time to stop and examine yourself. To ask yourself, how am I doing? Have I let some sin block me from being what God wants me to be? That needs to be removed. Have I let some other activity or some other event sidetrack me so that I'm not dedicated and staying the course? Oftentimes, as I mentioned a moment ago, we have to make a determination between doing something that's good and something that's better and something that's best. As we let the dedicated point of our life rule and direct us, our determination keeps us going in that direction. It keeps us in the practice room. It keeps us on the practice field. It keeps us working at those things to help us develop and become better at what God intends for us to use and to be. And may I just ask you this question, as the semester starts now and gets rolling along, you need to have that spirit of determination. You need to have that desire by God to help you today to follow through with that dedication you made at some time in the past. To do it today. Today is the day. And I'm so thankful that the grace of God is sufficient for every single day that we live here on earth with Him. And so determination is important to make that progress. Let me just ask you this question. Do you know what slows you down from making progress towards your goal of glorifying God? What is it that sidetracks you? What is it that's that temptation that your sinful nature likes to throw in your way and remind you about how great and glorious and pleasurable it is for a little while? What is it that you know of? Can you identify that? By doing so, it helps you to avoid it. It helps you to overcome it, to bypass those temptations and say no to them. Keeping our eyes focused on the goal, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, keeping that focus where we need it to be, determination. And so it is with the Apostle Paul. He did not allow these things to sidetrack him. He allowed himself to stay focused on doing the missionary work that God had called him to do. We cannot be a success without determination. And so determination is important that we would allow that to be a part of our life and that we would not let sin sidetrack us or some kind of opposition. What do people have to do to discourage you? By the way, discouragement is one of Satan's largest tools that he works against us with. He throws that dart at us all the time. And it's usually sometime in the voice of a friend who criticizes what you do or what you are. Are you sure you want to do that? Are you going to do that again? Come on. You're going overboard with this. This spiritual thing's gotten way out of balance in your life. You're no fun anymore. That's the voice of our sinful nature. That's the voice of Satan trying to get us aside from where God wants us to be going. And so we need to ask ourselves, what are those areas and that we can build up a spiritual defense for them and that we can allow the Lord to prepare us for those times of temptation by memorizing His Word and by focusing on it on a regular basis. Maybe sometimes you say, well, I tried and I failed, so try again. Well, I tried again and I failed, so try again. Maybe you've noticed the failure of others and that's discouraged you. That doesn't mean you should fall just because someone else has fallen. God wants us to be faithful. The just shall live by faith. And that as our faith guides us day by day, faith that it's bolstered by a regular personal engagement with the Word of God. I'm so thankful that we have chapel on a regular basis here at Maranatha. But that's not the key to keeping us on track spiritually. Chapel is good and important, The key to keeping ourselves on track spiritually is your private time with God, where it's you and Him alone together. And that sweet time where you honestly ask the Holy Spirit to speak through His Word. Sometimes we don't like that because it's convicting. And we see things we don't want to see in the mirror of His Word. We know changes that ought to be made. And it's no fun to think about making those. But as God speaks to our heart, we need to say yes. And the Word of God is what keeps us on track on a regular basis. Dedication, keeping yourself going, making it the habit, focusing on the Word of God, not letting it yourself be diverted to the right hand or to the left. Paul didn't let things stop him. Consider his record up to this point. In chapter 13 of the book of Acts, he was expelled from the city of Antioch. In chapter 14, he was stoned at Lystra and left for dead. In chapter 16, he was arrested and beaten and put in prison, chained hand and foot in a slimy dungeon. And then here again in chapter 17, he's right back at it again. The determination of this man, nothing seems to stop. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going. And he will not stop. Why? He had a goal to reach. And he wasn't going to let anything stop him. Ladies and gentlemen, I realize that in life, we're going to face hardships. We're going to face trials. We're going to face difficulties. Whether it's in our life or the life of a loved one, but those situations come. Do not allow that to distract you from the eyes fixed on Jesus Christ and His will for your life. We may need to set aside some time to deal with those things, but to keep our vision firmly affixed on the will of God for our life. And remind yourself about it on a regular basis. If you visit my office on second floor in Student Life, I'd invite you all to come. You don't need an invitation. When you get an invitation, you may not like it, but so stop by voluntarily, all right? And if you were to come into my office, there's a candy dish, help yourself, it's great. But on my desk is my personal mission statement. And my mission statement developed many years ago is to consistently and fervently do the will of God, utilizing the opportunities that He gives me. We ought to keep it before ourselves on a regular basis. And then in closing, there's another thing we notice about the Apostle Paul, and that is, where did he get the energy to do this? How did he dust himself off in Lystra and keep on going? Well, in verse number 10, we find a glimpse of that as well, a subtle reminder of something else that was important in his life. And after this incident in Thessalonica, it says in verse 10, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Are you kidding me? He's going right back to the same thing again. He's going to experience the same kind of results again. Did it stop him from doing what God wants him to do? No. Where did he get the strength for that? The strength for the goal to reach it is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our dependence upon God. And it is by faith that we follow Him. It is by faith we take the next step forward. It is by faith we walk one step at a time after His leadership in our life. Our faith in the Lord is what keeps us going. It is His grace that is showered upon us every single day. It's new, it's fresh, it's sufficient for whatever you are facing, whatever giant steps into your path, whatever blockade that comes around the corner, God's grace is sufficient for that. Paul explains about that as he records in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The issue he had with his eyesight, kind of a personal insight into his life, and he had some kind of a problem with his eyes. And he was able to say, you know, God's grace is sufficient for me. I will glory, therefore, in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Whatever we face in life, the grace of God is greater and enabling us to march on, to go forward, not to be stopped, not to be halted in the direction that God has for us, but that we might proceed forward to His glory. And the will of God is the most important thing to our life. Does this glorify God? I hope that would be the question of the hour, the question of the day. Does this glorify God? As you stand in front of the mirror in the morning, does this glorify God? As you walk through the day and you greet friends and listen to conversations, does this glorify God? As you take in that assignment for the day and you sit down in your study time and begin to do the work and realize that there's some shortcuts perhaps you could take, does this glorify God? Are we here to please ourselves or to serve our Savior? That's our choice today. Dedication, determination, and a dependence upon God for strength. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you did in the Apostle Paul's life, and we realize it's not unique. That the same grace and enabling that you provided for him is available to us right here today. And maybe there are some who are struggling with some things that would cause us to be diverted from your will, sidetracked in our life. May we set those aside. May we overcome them quickly. May we stay focused on what you want us to be and do. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn this lesson early in the semester, that we would desire to glorify you, that all of our life, our conversation, our actions, our goals, ambitions, our values would all be to the praise of your glory. Help us to live that way today. In Jesus' name, amen.